So I ask you a question. You always like to start out with questions, right? So I ask you a question this morning, and I want you to be very honest with this. Do you consider yourself a submissive person? So, and Google submissive people. You will get what you don't want to get, I promise you. You can ask me how I know that, but I can tell you don't do that. So I was looking for you to want this. I'll probably get something popping up on my computer from all those researches. But anyway, do you consider yourself as a person that gives in?
Can't you be in between?
You feel some person.
That's a political career a little bit. But
Yeah.
have you ever met somebody that just isn't, that will not give in no form or fashion?
Yes.
Yes. Why are you laughing?
Go
Boy,
get some more.
oh, I thought it was about you. Everybody probably knows somebody or has somebody in their family that will not give one inch. What was it, and what's the whole thing is give an inch, take a mile, that thing. When you look at these type people, it's interest corporate world. You see that a lot when you're working on things. And at Unilever, there was always, at the end of the meeting, if we had to make decisions, it was always, we had to kind of make a pact that from a teamwork, right? And that's kind of the way marriages go and relationships go and children and grandchildren and all this kind of stuff goes. It's also interesting to look at the way that it happens within a church, right? So again, another question. In your walk, however long that's been, didn't agree with. I always tell people talk about conference. And I'll be honest with you, before I became treasurer, I didn't come to conference either. So I'm not going to beat you up by not coming to conference. If you're not at conference, you can't complain about what was voted on and accepted, right? May not have support it, but I mean, you may not agree with it, but you really need to support it because you weren't there to vote. Now then, so if we, if and being submissive, and we're obviously going to look at today to the one another and being submissive to one another. If I were to talk to you about being submissive, would that, does it seem like an invasive way to say it, to tell you to be submissive?
You are our Sunday school teacher. You're just talking.
Yeah.
This is like an offense. I mean,
Offensive. So a real quick little story, right? A battleship captain was looking into the dark horizon one night sailing at night, and he saw one faint set of lights in the distance. Did you know how they do the signals? And the signal says, alter your course 10 degrees to the south, right? The promptly returned another signal that come back and says, alter your course 10 degrees to the north. Angered the captain, he sent a sail, I am a captain. Another message came back, alter your course 10 degrees to the north, I'm a seaman third class. Immediately, the captain was just irate. And he says, alter your course 10 degrees, alter your course 10 degrees to the north, I'm a lighthouse. So, you might be a battleship and you might be a lighthouse, but there's always times where we need to be. And again, the word submission is an ugly word in our culture, but it's an important key to spiritual maturity and to experiencing a real Christian community. He said, I want to look at what submission is and is not. He goes on to write a big paper about it. And, have you ever bought anything? Always. I'm really bad about that. And most people would turn around and they'll put the price up anyway so they can come down and make you feel better. And I had a real quick story I was gonna tell you real quick. Years and years ago, there was a drugstore in Cartersville named Champion A was the pharmacist there. And I had put on, I guess, Craigslist, whatever, I was selling this radio arm saw. So his wife, her name, everybody called her Happy, and she came out wanting to buy the radio arm saws. And she says, well, I'll give you 75, and we ended up agreeing on 80. And she paid. She said, I feel so good. She says, I'd have paid you $100 for it
I
So, different people accept that in different ways, right? So you can see how sometimes the word submissive can seem to be a little bit acidic or whatever. I was looking for stories. It's an interesting, Charles, James Dodson. He's the former president of Focus on the Family. He said he had this real good friend of his, this Dr. Sloniker, and he was a pediatrician, and said he had this family that came in, and they had a son, and he said the son was, said every time he'd come in, it was a battle with his kid, and said his mother would do nothing. Said she wouldn't help, she'd just sit there, he'd talk ugly, and he'd do all kind of bad things. So he came, he had some bad teeth. And he told his mother, said, well, you need to really get into a dentist. She said, well, you don't understand. He says, so this kid's horrible. She said, I can't imagine him going to a dentist. He's never been to a dentist before in his life. He said, well, look, so I got a friend of mine, said, I'm gonna set him up with this. And he said that they called this guy and he said, I have this bad kid. And he said, I'm gonna send him to you. So he sent this kid to him. He said, he walked in and Robert, the name, no, I'm in the chair. He said, no, get in the chair. He says, you try to make me get in the chair, I'll take my clothes off. He said, go ahead. So he took his shoes off, took his shirt off, said, get in the chair, Robert. He said, I'll take my clothes off. No, said the kid's standing there naked. And said, he said, I get said, get in the chair. They finally got in the chair, did all the work. They got through and said the kid was just mad. He says, well, give me my clothes back. He says, no, we sent them out to be clean. He says, you can come pick them up. And they're start naked, walked out through the lobby with them, start naked. She went out the car. So the next day, said, so the mother come back in. She said, this is amazing. She says, he made all the difference in the world. She says, he's been threatening me to get naked in the grocery store. So, you know, it's different things go different ways, right? So as we get on through this, I want to look at what submissive means. And filling our obedience to Christ, right? And again, submissive word or whatever words you want to use to it when we look at it on the surface. But let's we're going to dive into it. We're going to look at a story with Paul that could mean a whole lot, right? So if you look at this, but there's a whole bunch of examples of being submissive when you look through the New Testament. And here's just a few of them, right? All right, wives submit to their husbands. You know, we went over that one here a while back. Children are to submit to government authorities. Christians are commanded to submit to the leaders of the church. Servants are instructed to submit to their masters. So there's a bunch of empty says. So now then, I want to make sure that if we're talking about these, you know, people submitting to people in authority or stuff like that, there's also another side of that where that person have a submissive attitude, right? You see what I'm saying? It's a two-way street in a lot of ways. I used to have a little poster in my office that you would feedback is easier accepted when it's wrapped in a nice package. So it's lots of times it's how it's presented, right? You know, you present it in a different way and you get different responses for it. All right. So let's go on. So it comes from different ways. And if you remember what when Christ came to the world, he brought in, you know, this whole new approach in relationships between people. And if you look at the relationship back from the Old Testament to the New Testament, with a tremendous difference, right? We all know that. And if you look at Christ's servitude, it was crucified. Look what he did with the disciples from a submissive nature. So there's a lot of submissive talked about in the New Testament. Do you remember when Jesus and when the disciples were arguing themselves about who was the greatest? Remember what he said? This is interesting. So I'll remind you, this comes out of the Lord. You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you, he told them. Instead, whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of the Man did not come to be served, but to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. In Christ, all believers have the responsibility to submit to one another for the Christ, even those in position of authority, elders, husbands, parents, that attitude of submission. So let's look just a minute at what another situation. We get next page right here. Paul described it in this way. He says, who being in the very nature of God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance of man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. That comes out of Philippians. I'll get a story in Acts. So I want to just again back up just a minute when I ask you if you're a submissive person. Can you think of a situation that you can go back as far as you want to go back where you probably submitted to something that you probably didn't want to do or it wasn't necessary, but to as my dad used to say, to keep peace, that you did that. Maybe in a relationship or maybe it, you did in that situation. Once you did it, did you carry a grudge the fact that you was submissive? Then that's not being submissive, is it? You see what I'm saying? It's his own, and it's doing something with an attitude of being a servant versus being served. Because if you look at people in the, I didn't work for him. He was one of my peers. I heard him tell people more than one time, and this used to just grate me every time he said this. He says it's my way or the highway. That makes you really want to work with him, doesn't it? But that was just, if you have something like that and you have somebody with that kind of attitude, no matter what you do, you're not going to be happy with the results out of it. You're not going to be happy helping them. You're not going to be happy submitting to whatever they do with, and it's going to cause you problems in everything that you do in your relationship with them, whether it be work or outside of work. So as we go through this story, I want you to watch the story unfold about what does to make things better or to calm things down in this story that comes out of Acts. All right. So I've got a good bit I want to read, but I want you to just follow along with the story. This comes out of Acts 21. Jerusalem, the brothers received us warmly. The next day, Paul and the rest of us went to see James, and all the elders were present. Paul greeted them and reported in detail what God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. When they heard this, they praised God. Then they said to Paul, "You see, brother, them are zealous for the law. They have been informed that you teach all Jews who live among the Gentiles to turn away from Moses, telling them not to circumcise their children or live according to our customs." Telling them not to circumcise, he said, telling them not to circumcise children and live according to custom. What shall we do? He's telling Paul this. They certainly hear that you have come. So this was after Paul's third missionary journey, and the rumors had spread through Jerusalem that Paul let go of everything to do with the law, all their feasts, all of their rituals, all of this that Paul had encouraged them to just let it all go and forget all of it, which was not true, right? So, if one guy wrote on this, it's really interesting. He wrote on this. He said, "A parallel for today for this, yes. Since you believe in God, you're no longer allowed to observe the national holidays. The 4th of July, the President's Day are definitely out. Also, the Constitution, don't pay attention to that either." Just a parallel story to it, right? Kind of comparing to it. All right. So when the rumors reached Jerusalem that Paul was telling the Christians to follow this for faith, but he wasn't telling them to give up all of their feasts and all this. That's true. So what do we tell you? There are four men with us who have made a vow. This is the James in the group talking. Take these men, join in their purification. They can have their heads shaved, and everybody will know there is no truth in these reports about you, but that you yourself are living in obedience to the law. Right? You remember the same thing happened to Paul back in Corinth when he was going through it, right? So this is a Nazarite vow. So it was quite, people wasn't afforded. Evidently, Paul had the money to do it and do this. So afterwards, the offering was made. One was haircut. It was burned on the altar for sacrifice, considered an act of the smaller side for the wealthier people, but greatly expensive for those who didn't have it. All right. They'll do these things that made it look like he was guilty of what they were telling him or accusing him of him. But we know that Paul didn't do that, right? All right. So in Paul's position, I'm not going to do that. Yeah, he could have said that, right? So what did he do? This is what Acts 21 says. The next day, Paul took them in and purified himself along with them. Then he went to the temple to give notice of the date when the purification would end and the offering would be made for each of them. So what did he do? He submitted to the wishes of James and the others, even though he was not guilty. And I mean, that Paul did it. But I mean, you can almost feel that he did it for the sake of unity for the church. It would have probably had a big impact on the church at Jerusalem if he had made a big stink out of it.
Bill being considered an outsider.
Oh,
He
yeah.
had time to be branded, get their good graces and everything else because of
Yeah,
who he had been.
absolutely. So as we close out, I want to look, as we start to close out, I want to look at what submission is and what Richard Foster, a writer and professor of Christian disciplines, wrote this. He said, "Jesus called us to self-denial without self-hatred." I'm going to read that again. Jesus called us to self-denial without self-hatred. Self-denial is simply a way of coming to understand that we do not have to have it our own way. Our self-denial does not mean the loss of our identity, as some suppose. Without our identity, we cannot even be subject to each other. He said, "Did Jesus lose his identity when he set his face towards Golgotha? Did Peter lose and follow me? Did Paul lose his identity when he committed himself to the one who said, 'I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name'?" Since we know the opposite was true, they found their identity in the act of self-denial. All right. So he goes on to write for ourselves and our love for others. Submitting to one another is not submission to one another's sins. Think about that one for a second. Right? It's not loving to allow someone to abuse us or abuse others in one way or the other. And I think that's a big. But if you look at families where the male was abused in the relationship, they turned around to be a very dominating person. If you look at this is according to research, if you look at the very submissive person throughout that, and they end up marrying the guys and getting with the guys that are abusive.
The track.
Pardon?
The track addiction.
It is. It is. And there's just there's papers and papers and documents about that. So is the intimidating or whatever the right terminology is, want somebody that's submissive. All right. And that's absolutely not what submissive is in a Christian life, is it? Totally opposite. Totally opposite. And you know, whether or not we fit, when you look at as a whole, where do we fall in when we look at the things that we do in our walk with God about being submissive to his wants? I'm first talking about feeding seed, and he said, you know, he said, I ain't real sure about this, but this is what I feel like God's telling me to do, you know. So you take a big step in being submissive to what you've got of it, right? I mean, how, you know, more than us has done that more than one time, you know.
Yeah, and then you question God. It's like, what did I do? What just did I hear myself?
Yeah, can you say that again? It's like what is it? Was it? He said, or maybe in Jeremiah said the best advice he got from his father was, "Don't confuse indigestion with God talking to you." So you know that comes in. You know, like, hey, am I getting this right? Am I trying to figure out what you want me to do? It's a big part of it, right? So submission. First, it leads to freedom. Second, submission is the essence of Christianity. Martin Luther, the most free Lord of all and subject to no one. A Christian is the most dutiful servant to all and subject to everyone. It's both sides of it, right? He said, he goes on, right? He says, we cannot read the New Testament without coming across the call to lay after. Matthew, Jesus said in Matthew, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Paul said this. He says, though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many Jews. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak, so that I have become all things to all men, so that all possible means I might save some. That's a very telling. It goes on, the other guy goes on writing, he says, learning to submit ourselves to others and for Christ and his church. So I'm gonna leave you with a couple of little things right here that came out of one of the sermons that I was getting this from. And it's quite interesting. And I thought it went well in what you were talking about the food today. You know, now then you got this great opportunity. Well, it may require some other stuff that people need to give up. That's a submissive nature. That's exactly what submissive nature is. If you give up something that you have or something you want to do or something that you feel like you want to do, to buy another, no matter what it is that you're working on. But here's four things I want to just leave you with. May God's spirit move us in a way that molds us and make us Christ-like. We have a submissive spirit. Number two, no matter who we are, we must learn to submit to God. Number one, authorities and to each other second. Submit to the lighthouse, and so should we. He said, if we don't learn to submit to God and submit to authorities and submit to one another, then our ship will surely sink. So, you know, as we close, I was thinking today, these things that comes up in your life, and you have the opportunity to submit. And again, I keep using this word submit, but it's you know, you could probably use the term meet halfway or you know, have you ever had this thought in your mind when somebody's want to do something, well, I'll do this for you. You know, so as we close out this week, just give some thought to some of the opportunities that you have and some of the things that you can do from a submissive nature to help you out in your walk with Christ.